I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Guys, what's up? Welcome back. Oops, the podcast. Julio Gallerati with this hunky beefcake next to me. Ryan is really jacked Lynch.
Wow, Julio. You really know how to do an intro for a podcast.
Buttering you up, pal.
Hi, everybody.
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
Yo, dude, let's talk about the Nicaragua video.
Okay.
I have a few questions after watching it. If you haven't seen it, check it out on YouTube.
That's very exciting. Yeah, man. Fun little video. It was sort of like, at the time I was really like making a lot of videos. It was pretty sweet. And I look back now, I have a pretty sweet catalog and I'm proud of most of it. And I think that this one came out really nicely. So, check it out if you haven't watched it yet. Also come see us at Laugh Boston, on June 1st. Lynch will be in attendance.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be a great show. Really looking forward to it. So yeah, what's up?
You go to meet up with the guy who's your liaison.
Blake.
Yes. You stalked his Facebook and everything before. Mm-hmm. Scale 1 to 10. How nervous were you that he was gonna either be a bad vibe or dangerous?
Interesting question. So you always worry a little bit about people being a bad vibe because it's really nice when they're a good vibe. Mm-hmm. It really helps. And especially when it's...
Well said. That's very true.
And I'll say this too. Hired tour people are typically personable because it's part of their job to be likable. Because, you know, you want to get a good review of the tour, whatever. It's self-explanatory as to why that's the case. So that is like a lower risk situation. With just some random dude... You worry a little, but like there's things that are working in my favor here. So first of all, for him to even make this suggestion to begin with, he's familiar with my work, my brand, etc. So like people get it more so than they don't. And you'll notice, I would argue he curated a really great trip for me where I sort of scratched every itch. We did cool cultural stuff. He took me to some stuff that he thought would film well, and he was right about that. And then we kind of had the random sort of party situation at the end. As far as being dangerous, I mean, I knew somebody who knew him, and that's not a good vetting system.
She has nice teeth.
She has nice teeth.
According to him.
Yes, and it's true, and according to me too. And that was all that I needed to know. I was like, all right, I know somebody else who knows him. This is the same, not to be graphic here, but like that was the same system for whether or not I would wear a condom when I was single. Do I know anybody who knows the person?
Oh, I thought it was, do they have nice teeth?
No. If anybody knows the person, no condom. Not a good method.
Nice. No, he was great. And you guys got a drink right after he picked you up. And that's a great way to assess whether he's a good vibe or not.
Yeah.
You guys shared some laughs. So he seemed great.
Yeah, the timeline in the video is pretty true to form too. Like that was pretty much the order in which we did stuff.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't always make sense to edit it that way, but in this case it did make sense to just do it kind of chronologically.
Yeah. You know. Okay, second question. You go to a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
The volcano is not dormant.
Active volcano.
It's an active volcano. How the same way that you get nervous when you're on a balcony about not necessarily being suicidal and jumping off, but just that weird like muscle memory urge to kind of just like, I don't know, to like lean over and like put yourself in a dangerous situation. Do you feel like that when you're around the volcano?
Meaning like from a perspective of like this could erupt at any time or I could fall in.
I could fall in.
Okay. No, there was a pretty good like system of, there was like a viewing area. It wasn't just like in the middle of the forest somewhere.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It's like a quote national park. I think it's called the Masaya volcano or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pay like 10 bucks or whatever. You go
okay.
And you can look and you drive up and you know, it's a self-guided thing, but there's a fence.
Gotcha.
And it was dark. So I you can't really tell on the video. So yeah.
Okay.
But this is a nice addition to this and you probably know this already, but I did not know this until recently. But it made sense. And I was like, oh, interesting. I watched a documentary about this couple who were volcano chasers. They would go when volcanoes erupted and try to like study the soil and the magma and the lava or whatever. And scientists are pretty good at like almost I don't want to say precisely, but like within a pretty narrow window, being able to predict when a thing's going to erupt. And therefore people can theoretically evacuate if they have to, blah, 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 which randomly ends up becoming a political thing. But I was not worried about an eruption because I knew that I would probably know.
They wouldn't, if it was like a thing that you paid to see, they wouldn't have let you up there.
Yeah.
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 So the camera, there was a really good shot. Like you could kind of see the lava moving.
Yeah.
But I'm sure most people listening have not seen an active volcano before with their eyes. So can you kind of draw some comparisons as to, like, can you describe what you saw and like kind of like give us a visual aid to like, so that we can comprehend it? Was it like water? Like what did it look like?
So it was really deep in the ground. So I could very clearly see it and you can very clearly see it, but it wasn't like close to you by any means. I don't remember exactly how far. It wasn't like 500 feet far, but it was far. And apparently there's only about a dozen volcanoes in the world with like a visible resting lava pool.
Wow.
Most of them, like you can't actually see the lava. Really like a nice juxtaposition against the dark sky. Like it was like really black and dark. And then there's this like rich red lava pool. It was super cool.
Was it like splashy or was it kind of like one piece that was kind of just moving together?
No, I think it was splashy, dude. It was like, oh, like a lake.
Yeah.
You know, like not like a lake, but the exposed part that I could see, if I recall, was like the size of like a big pool.
And then, can you describe, I saw in the video, but in your own words, can you kind of share with us what it felt like picking up a little piggy?
Oh yeah. So, okay. Initially this guy, Blake, he works basically on a farm. He works for this guy who actually is from where I'm from. And he like lives in Nicaragua. I don't really fully understand what's going on there.
A lot of people in Connecticut move out to Nicaragua.
I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. So anyway, he helps run this guy's operation. So they have like a meat market, whatever. I don't think it's a literal meat market, but they have like pigs and cows and like they slaughter them and sell them, which is like, you know, that's just the thing, guys. I don't think that requires a trigger warning. That's what farming is. If you didn't know that, then you live under a rock and you need to grow up. So anyway, he's like, do you want to slaughter a pig? And I was like, I don't think I ever was actually considering it, but you see me in the video decline. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And I know that it's like a gruesome thing in general, like the idea of it, but hearing pigs and seeing them behave as they're preparing for their own sort of like imminent death, there's something shitty about the whole process. And pigs are really loud, first of all. Like when you feed them, bro, I get why now they say pig out. I've never seen anything be that crazy about food. Bro, literally, I'm like pouring this like beer and cheese slop that there are endless amounts of. And these pigs would fucking kill each other to have one more bite. And they're going, wee, 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 which sounds funny when I'm doing it, but it is like scary when they're doing it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you saw the little pig was cute. Holding it, their skin is very tough. It feels like a leather jacket. It's like very skinny, which I also say in the video. The one pig I picked up didn't really want to be picked up. I was feeding a bunch of them and I found it to ultimately be pretty unpleasant. And the idea of killing them every single day too, whatever guys are doing that job, I'm sure they're used to it by now, but sounds like a tough job, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into details about how they do it, but it's pretty gruesome.
Do they, the only question I ask about that, do they wait for them to get bigger before they kill them? Or did that pig that you picked up,
that little guy,
them a little,
I don't think
a little
no,
after
no,
you
no.
left.
They feed them and you know, these pigs can eat forever. They get them nice and fat. And I think then they do it.
Gotcha. I saw a big one walking around.
Dude, that
video,
one charged
acting,
at me.
Acting like it was his place.
He like ran right at me. I had to like jump out of the way.
That's scary, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But it was interesting to get to work on the farm a little bit and putz around.
Yeah.
But kind of just, you know, gross, tough work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was a sick video.
Thanks, man.
So.
Yeah,
it's an easy watch. The torture chamber, too.
That was crazy, right?
Loved that.
That was fucked up.
Love that.
There, we went to this torture chamber. It's pretty like gross and like, honestly, it was just like recent. Like these people were being held down there and tortured like not long ago, which makes it hit a little closer to home than if you're in like a medieval torture chamber where like you're just well aware that the value for human life was much lesser at the time in general. So like the things that they would do to people, it's not at, it's just so distant that it's like not even related. But this stuff was happening like in people that we know's lifetimes. Like this is like the 70s and the 80s or whatever. Yikes. And people were just down here in the pitch dark. It was so disgusting. They were doing all sorts of gnarly torture to them. And I was down there for like 5 minutes and was like, I'm done. I might need to get out of here.
Bad vibes.
Not to mention the bats. Bad vibes. Bat vibes. Bad and there's bats flying around. Everybody's acting like that's normal. I'm like, I don't like being this close proximity to bats.
Yeah.
Where I got bat, I got guano on me, dude. Bat droppings. So anyway, but yeah, fun video, fun experience.
Yeah.
Definitely share it. Check it out.
This episode of Oops the Podcast is brought to you by Care Of.
Guys, Care Of rules. It's a company that offers a curated set of products that are designed to work with research-backed ingredients and optimal doses. All you have to do to get started is take a short, simple online quiz about your lifestyle and health goals, and Care Of will give you doctor-backed recommendations. It's that easy. And guys, I will say this, it is that easy. As far as like, you kind of get bombarded with all this stuff that you, quote, should be taking, and it's hard to, A, prioritize it, B, be organized enough to attack this sort of, this long list of stuff and decide what you need to get, and then to keep that up. Care Of is sort of designed, in my opinion, to break through all of that. You take this short quiz, you kind of realize what's important to you, as well as what you should be doing based on sort of like conventional wisdom with what you already know. And then you kind of very quickly check all the boxes. Care Of then assembles a package for you and sends it to you and has everything in there. And for me, it's been so much easier to actually take it all, whether it's a vitamin, something to kind of aid with winding down at the end of the day, sleeping better, fish oil, protein, collagen, all this stuff delivered to your doorstep. So simple, so straightforward. I absolutely love it. And I'm hooked for life. I was so impressed by it and I continue to be. So I very much look forward to continuing it, Ryan.
Yeah. So for all of our listeners, all of Oops fam, for 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code OOPS50. Once again, that's for 50% off your first Care Of subscription order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code OOPS50. That's 50% off, guys.
Guys, it's a great, great, great service. Get in there. One thing that I do, and I don't always do it, but when I do it, I'm like, why are you doing that? Sometimes I'm unable to sort of accept a compliment. And not even in the like, not even in this way, where it's like, you know what, man, you were great. And I'm like, well, you know, it wasn't just me. There was a bunch of other people who worked on it. I don't do that. That's like deflecting. I will straight up take a compliment and tell you the reason why your compliment is wrong and then tell you how bad I am. Why do I do that? Somebody said something so nice to me today and I was like, yeah, but that's because of this. And also this is happening and this and... it's not, it's bad and I'm bad and you should, why would you ever say something like that to me?
I don't know. that's a good, I bet a lot of creators feel the same way and do the same things. I don't know why. Maybe you feel guilty, feel undeserving. And that, like, I don't know why. I feel like, I feel that way when I get compliments from people.
You feel guilty?
And I don't know why. I just feel guilt. I feel guilty and bad and like, no, it's
undeserving,
I'm not
deserving.
Well.
I understand. Not saying specifically to you, but like,
yeah.
I understand the idea of thinking you don't deserve it, but the guilt I don't fully understand, but it is an interesting phenomenon.
Don't know how to take it. Yeah. I don't know how to be like, thank you.
Yeah.
I've caught myself getting, just like you, getting a compliment and then just start tearing myself apart, and then I'm catching myself because I can see the friend that gave me a compliment be like, okay, like just said nice job. Like,
yeah.
And then I try to, I'm like, sorry, thank you.
And dude, it'll be like I'm searching for ways to do it. It's easier to do when it's like food, right? Like say you made a pie and you know that you normally make this pie way better. Right?
Yeah.
If somebody's like, wow, this is the best pie I've ever had. I think it's normal to be like, man, like, I'm so happy you think so. The last time I made it was so good. I promise you, like the next time you're going to even like it even more, right? Like that's normal.
That's empowering.
I didn't put enough salt in it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever note you have as the chef. I broadly dismissed my entire existence and persona.
Oh, it's so sad.
That's a crazy thing to be doing.
Why do we do that? Why do we hate ourselves so much?
And dude, it's also, yeah, the self-loathing, guys, has got to stop. This is not the summer for that. This is the summer for
self-loving.
Loving yourself. And bro, like, it also is weird for the person who gave you the compliment.
Yeah.
What are they supposed to say?
Yes.
They're like, you're great. You're like, no, I'm not. I suck. This is why I suck.
I don't deserve to be here.
Oh, I guess, I guess you suck, dude. Wow, thanks for making me uncomfortable at 8:30 a.m. on a Thursday morning.
I just took 10 minutes out of my day to send you a really thoughtful message because you inspired me. My bad. Right. My bad. You changed my life. My bad. Yeah, you do suck. You don't deserve the air that you breathe.
And I'll say this, like, I think I'm a little bit better at it when it's written, thank God, because you have to write it. So as you're writing it, you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. No need to let them peek behind the veil this much. It's if somebody says it, and before you think about it, you just blurt out something defeatist. And it's just not a healthy exercise.
Yeah. Maybe it's like an imposter syndrome, but like imposter of like a human being.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I resonate with that. Bad vibes. Got to get rid of that this year.
Bad vibes for sure. Really bad vibes. You deserve to be there. Nobody knows what they're doing.
Exactly. Everyone is a kid.
Get in there.
Everyone's a kid. Dude, there's a new, crazy man that moved onto my street.
He moved like he's on the sidewalk.
He's just there. He's on my street. He's just there.
He's sitting on the street.
He's walking around laughing like the Joker.
Oh, God.
Dead ass. Like, it's not a bit. Like, it's a thing.
Do you think he lives on the street?
I think he lives under the Williamsburg Bridge.
Okay.
But, like, he doesn't have, like, a station.
Which, like, Bedford and Broadway situation?
Wythe or Broadway, something like that. Okay. I don't know. But, like, I hear him. I've seen him once. I've heard him three times. He screams and he yells and he laughs. And it's just like, it was never like that before. And now he's there. And it's just like a bad vibe.
The problem with those kind of guys, where I used to live, there was a guy like that. And he was such a fucker. And he'd every once in a while, he wouldn't be there for a bit. And I would just assume he had gone to jail or he'd done something. And lo and behold, he always ends up back there. And when I go back, I see him. And at one point, like, I was trying to avoid him, so I'd go the other way. Yeah. And now I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't have to entertain this guy's nonsense. Like, he'll be mean, too. He's like, oh, like all right, the guy I live with, one of the guys' names is Phil. And he calls Phil Curly. So when I would see him, he'd be like, hey, man, he'd be like, tell Curly if you see him. I said, fuck you, man. And I'm like, okay, dude.
At least he's articulate and witty.
But this guy's a fucker, and there's nothing you can do about it. And
where does he spot up?
It's Upper East Side. It's like a pretty like well-to-do corner. But people in the neighborhood just pay him off to not talk to them. Yeah, they give him $20 once a quarter, and he won't bother you.
That's not bad. That's good money.
But like, what the fuck, dude? Why is this guy who lives on the sidewalk extorting people in the neighborhood? You know what I mean? It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
But hopefully the Joker will pipe down.
Like this guy's unpredictable. Like and he leaves. He's like every Batman villain because he also is like the Riddler. He messes things up, and like you know it's him. Like he
like what?
There's a shopping cart under the bridge now, flipped over with sticks and Huggies toilet paper boxes around it. And like, it's a fort, but yeah. Like not a livable fort. It's just like a collection of stuff. And I always walk under the Williamsburg Bridge because there's stuff on the other side that I want to do. And like, I'm scared of him. Like he's not screaming like, yo, fuck you. Like he's like laughing and that's it. He doesn't say anything. Like, I'm just like nervous. I'm nervous.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm nervous. And I don't want him to like have power over me, but I can't do anything about it.
Just stay 10 yards away from him at all times.
Yeah.
So that if he were to break for you, you'd be able to escape. In LA, dude, you hear these scary stories about these fucking crazy homeless guys like killing people and shit. So you should be careful for sure.
Yeah, dude. So I don't know. But like, yeah, like I'm walking with Vic and I see him and I'm like, fuck, I got to be brave.
Yeah.
And it just sucks. I just hate it. It's just a bad vibe. But like, there's a homeless guy that lives also under the bridge on another street. And like, he's super chill. And he says, what's up, man? And
is this the Mountain Dew guy?
I don't know if he's the Mountain Dew
guy. There's a Mountain Dew guy who's
very chill. He has an iPad.
I think this might be the same guy. I've seen him laying down
sleeping
watching.
Bag?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
watching TV on a tablet. He has Mountain Dew bottles everywhere. A kid loves Mountain Dew.
He's fine.
That guy's chill.
He's
dude.
Fine. Vic and I in the winter, it's Vic. I go with her. Vic likes to be nice, and she'll go get him, like, a hot tea or something.
That's nice.
I never want to leave the apartment. I'm like, no way. But then she drags me out. Nice. And we give him tea. He's a nice guy. But I don't like the influence that this crazy guy might have on him.
We need to protect Mountain Dew, man,
Mountain
against
Dew,
the Joker,
man.
Bro.
MDM.
MDM.
But, yeah, it's just scary, dude. It's just, yeah. It's just, it's unsettling. That's yeah. It.
It's, well, so, dude, I saw Mountain Dew Man the other day.
That's crazy. I didn't
know that.
Because,
well, this is why. I went to open a bank account for one of my endeavors, and I was able to finally do it, blah, 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 blah. There's like a little bit of a learning curve, and she's like, if you want the card, why is that funny?
Nothing.
Sounds sketch.
No, I just thought about us having Mountain Dew Man on the pod, and like that could like not end well, so never mind.
Yeah, listen, man, it could be chill. Let's go see if he wants to do it.
Sorry, continue.
No, all good. So I get the account open. I'm ready to go. I get a couple of checks. I'm like, oh, this is fun. I've done an adult thing, right? Business bank account. Wow.
Wow.
And she's like, well, we can get you the card in 2 weeks in the mail. But if you go to the location on Broadway in Roebling, you can have the card today. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of far. She's like, well, I'll tell you a secret. She goes, the B62 bus right outside here will drop you off directly in front of the bank. She's like, yeah. So,
how close was she to you when she told you?
About as far as you are from me, Ryan.
That's pretty tight.
And so I was like, wow, you know what? I'm going to do that. So I get on the B62 bus. I take it. It drops me off directly in front of the branch. I get off. I sit down. The guy hands me my card. Wow. And I realize I left the folder with all the stuff on the bus. So then I have to close the account, reopen it. Blah, 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 blah. That ended up being a more painless process than you would think, but it was a bitch.
Is there any, like, super secure information about you in that folder?
No, just the...
Like your big number?
So this is... No. All the account information, which I guess can be used to commit fraud. I don't fully understand how, but yeah. And two blank checks.
Oh, that's bad.
So, and I asked the guy, I was like, all right, well, if I'm not closely monitoring the account and I notice 30 days later... that somebody has made a transaction, is that still within the window where I can report fraud? He goes, yeah, actually. He's like, I think it's 60 days. I'm like, okay, good. He goes, but typical protocol here would be to close the account. Sorry. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, that'd be sketchy on their end for a brand new account holder to call with those types of questions sounding fraudulent.
Dude, then this lady came in. She was like an inspector, and she's like, hey, I'm a third-party inspector of financial institutions. I just need to like take some pictures and take some notes. And she was there for like 30 minutes, and I was trying to like fraternize with the guy. I leaned over. I was like, who's this snitch over here? Huh?
Did he laugh?
It's like sort of. He was like,
Her name is Jessica?
I think he like, you know, was afraid, as was I, bro.
Yeah.
But that is the thing. Like losing shit. There's certain times where you are most susceptible to doing it. So if you're carrying an item that you're not usually carrying, like that's definitely a good time to lose something. So like you sit on a bus, you put your bag down if you have it, and then you put down your folder. That folder is at risk.
Big time.
And another time where you're at risk is when you're wearing a new pair of pants. You don't understand the mechanics of the pockets yet.
Not yet.
So like your AirPods might slide out. Or your wallet might slide out or whatever. So like you should try to like understand that. And I know I've said like that's one of the kind of sneaky pitfalls of summer. No storage, no walking storage, but hang on to your belongings as we accumulate more and more stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked by a homeless guy and been like, this guy has more shit than I do? Just like two giant shopping carts filled with stuff.
Tons of stuff. Cans.
So much stuff.
There's a lady in South Boston. When I would visit Victoria while she lived up there, you know, the can collectors,
like the people who like get the bottles for the deposit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a woman with a big stick over her shoulders with two garbage bags on both sides. So it balances out over her back. I bet she makes a killing because I'd see her every time I go to Boston and she's holding bags and she has them on her shoulder. I bet she makes like $40.
I'm curious about this. So how many cans can one of those big bags hold? And let's assume that if you're super duper ambitious and you have a cart and you have the stick and you can carry four of those bags at a time.
Okay.
How much money do you think you'd make?
All right, let's figure this out. Bear with us, guys. We're going to figure this out. This is what we're going to investigate. So a very large garbage bag can hold about 300 to 400 cans / bottles.
Okay.
You want to just say...
Yeah, let's say 400.
Let's say 400. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
So that's $20 a bag.
How much is a...
5 cents.
5 cents? Oh, that was easy.
I think in some states it's
more. I thought that was going to take us 20 minutes.
So times 4 bags, so you can make like $80 to $100 a day if you're like really crushing it.
But I don't think they collect every day. Or no. I don't know if everyone puts their recycling and trash out every day. So maybe only like once or twice a week you have the opportunity to get cans and bottles.
Yeah, but dude, but what about like public garbage cans? Like they fish in those too.
Uh-huh.
You can make, this is a decent amount of money. I mean, you're making, that's like $2,800 a month if you're doing it, or roughly $3,000 a month if you do it every single day.
Yeah, but you're like, that's not a quick little side hustle. That's like
all
that's
day long.
I mean, that's money. That's real money, but that's real time. So I don't know about that. But yeah, she seems to be, yeah, she's got a lot more stuff than me.
Yeah, well, no, just because of the cans?
Never mind.
She might. I don't know.
I don't know. She could. I don't know.
Well, but yeah, if it's just the cans, then we don't really know. But if it's like, sometimes I'll see people with a bunch of stuff and like, you can kind of tell they're like a little bit of a hoarder, bro. Like some of the shit they have, I'm like, dude, you don't need that.
Yeah.
It'll be like a doll or like, that clearly has no sentimental value. It's like packaged between like dirty tin foil and like.
An empty sriracha sauce bottle.
The people are potentially mentally ill. This is. Maybe this is not what we should be talking about.
Maybe not. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Yeah, man, I definitely suffer from allergies when the season sort of turns. When the spring comes about, everything's in bloom. I certainly feel it. And it's nice to have a little help. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
It's just a brutal time of year for a lot of us, so even if you struggle just the slightest, Astapro helps. And that goes a long way with allergies.
I've been happy to treat my allergies with Astapro.
Yeah.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. It's faster, bro.
Astapro.
And go. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
We went to a bagel shop, and they ran out of bagels after we bought our bagel. And you don't get your bagel right
away. You
bought
the last one?
No.
Oh.
Busy, busy, busy bagel shop. Vic and I walk all the way over there to get a bagel one morning. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. I wanted an everything bagel so badly, and we bought the bagels. And they're like, okay, yeah, here's a number. They give us the number. We sit down. 10 minutes go by, whatever. 20, whatever. 30, huh? Then we start to notice other people around with numbers, and they have nothing, and they've been there longer than us. So they've probably been there for 40 minutes to 50 minutes.
Is this like a famous spot?
Yeah. Leo. Okay. Leo Bagel.
Is that
Williamsburg.
Okay.
Yeah, they only do bagels on the weekends. They also have a restaurant on the side.
It's really good.
It's really, really good. But we're sitting there. We're patient. We don't really mind. We'll wait, whatever. It's a great bagel. It's a treat to get one. But this girl sitting by the window, she complains to the manager. She's like, hey, we've been here for an hour. I asked for two bagels with nothing on them. Like, we've been waiting for an hour. And the manager was like, okay, I understand. Let me go check on that. Very, like, calm and blasé vibe, like, no urgency.
How do you feel about that?
It really pissed me off because we weren't getting a bagel. And then they got their bagels. They walk out. And then the manager is going up to people one by one, whispering stuff. And I'm like, this isn't good. So she eventually comes up to us and she's like, hey guys, what did you order? And we said, I got an everything with butter. Vic got one with cream cheese. And she's like, okay, so we actually ran out of bagels. So we can give you a refund or we can give you your spreads on a brioche bun. And I gave her a look as in like, you got to have more bagels. And I just said to her, I was like, what? And I feel bad about the way I said what. It was very impolite. But I was just like, what? And I turned my head and I like played dumb as in like.
Is that how you said it? This is not that bad if this is how you said it.
I was like, what? I like squinted and tilted my head. It was kind of like, it was like, are you fucking kidding me? Mm. That's what I said with my what? Mm.
What?
And she was very calm, and she was like, "We sold out." And then I looked at Vic because I didn't know if she wanted a refund or a brioche, and then she wanted me to make a decision. And then I was like, "That's ridiculous." And then I looked away because I was embarrassed. And then I said, "I'll do the brioche. That's fine." And then she goes and she delivers the news to two other people. And I noticed that they behind the counter, there's four bagel bags. And I don't know. I said to her, I said, "Are those bagels accounted for?" And Vic did not like that. She thought that that was rude and like very sassy. And she said, "Let me go check." They people that waited an hour and said, "Fuck it," and left, didn't pick up their bagels when they were ready. And we ended up getting bagels.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I felt like an ass. I was super nice to her after that. I was like, "Oh, this is great. This is fantastic. Thank you so much." And then she's like, "Yeah, I'm really sorry. This is my first day."
Jesus.
And I felt really
bad.
Bro,
no, fuck that. You waited for an hour for your bagel. You got your bagel. You did what you had to do. You're creative on the fly. And later, I hope that you said to Victoria, as she was enjoying her everything bagel with cream cheese, that you're like, "You want to know why you're eating that bagel? Because daddy spoke up." You didn't like it now, but now look at you.
Look at you. You're well fed. You're well fed. Yeah, Leo Bagels. I mean, that was a bad day. Go there. Great bagels. Highly recommend. They have my endorsement.
Really sounds like a great time. Dude, if someone off a brioche bun with butter on it, are you out of your fucking mind, bro?
That's why I said, "What?
I don't want that."
It's like, no way.
I don't want that. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, Vic didn't like my energy after that because, like, she was like, "You're not going to make anything better. Like, just... you're just like being angry and
Karen Lynch
being a Karen." I don't know, dude. It pissed me off. Really pissed me off. Wait for so long.
One of the best South Park episodes is the Yelp one. I don't know if you've seen that.
Refresh.
I like basically everybody in the town is like big on Yelp. So, and it turns into this thing where like, there's like if you're a Yelper, like you have like a special like line, and it's really fucking funny, and it'll make you feel bad complaining or Yelping ever again. Which is probably the intended effect.
Yeah.
And it's fair.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm not critiquing how you handle that. No, you were patient. You were a gentleman.
Thank you.
And you got your way.
I appreciate that. I felt bad for the last week about that. I was like, "What am I not allowed to be upset about this?"
Bro.
But hey, you know what? These are small problems, but they're a big deal.
There's so much good food around here, dude.
It is, dude.
It's like your neighborhood, my neighborhood. It's just like endless options, and it is such a superior experience. If you guys are thinking of visiting the city, you got to come. And look, there's like things in Manhattan that are like, if you've never been, it's like fun to go see them or whatever. But the beauty of the city is really in the diversity of businesses in some of these neighborhoods. And like, especially where Ryan and I live in Brooklyn and Greenpoint and Williamsburg, it is sort of like the cutting edge of culture. Mm-hmm. Like when smaller cities open things, they're doing it modeled after things that we've done here. Super cool, good character, and like pound for pound, every block, just an absurd amount of good restaurants.
Yeah.
And also that like good mid-range restaurant, which like it doesn't exist in Manhattan.
Well, like one that won't rip your face off?
No, it's just like
money-wise?
Like not even. Like, it's like Michelin star restaurant in Manhattan. Like there's like some of the top restaurants or whatever, but like below a really high quality place, like there just aren't that many good places.
Yeah,
there's like the buzz places, but like a place in the middle price range would just be mid as fuck, whereas here there's like middle price range stuff that's like incredible. Not to be the annoying Brooklyn guy.
No, which I am being. There's nothing annoying about living in the best part of New York.
Best part of New York. Yeah.
I also feel there's such a sense of community, and I really mean that.
It's true.
I do actually. Like, you go to the parks, Domino Park, McCarran Park. I went to Prospect Park a few weeks ago to play croquet.
Oh, how fun, right?
It was a lot of fun. So, love the Brooklyn vibe.
Yeah, and that is true. Like, people will be like, "How are you liking the neighborhood?" That's like not a question you'll get in Manhattan or whatever. So anyway, I don't know. I would say prioritize coming out here.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a good one for you, dude. I went to a wedding this weekend. Two things stood out to me. So this is Pavone's wedding, who you know. Mm-hmm. He's been on the pod. His now wife, Olivia, is a comedy manager, lovely person. She looked amazing. Bro, when the bride always looks amazing, she's the bride, whatever. And she probably theoretically, any bride, is most likely going to look like a quote, best version of themselves for their wedding day. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that there's a very high level of the ability to prepare for one's wedding. Now, one thing I will say though is sometimes a bride might go overboard where like they think they need to be skinnier than they really do. you start seeing a lot of bones, and you're like, this is kind of sad. This person thinks they look amazing, and they actually don't. Mm-hmm. They look sick, and that makes me feel sad for them.
It's giving Ozempic.
Yes, and as a guy who has lost too much weight at times in my life, I relate to not understanding you've gone too far. But, you know, it's still, you hate to see it. Olivia looked amazing. She truly looked amazing. And I was saying to her, you look amazing. And I almost felt like she didn't understand how much I meant it, because you would say that to any bride. And of course I would say it to any bride, but I really meant it when I said it to her. And I hope she picks up on this and hears this and appreciates that I felt she looked great. Pavone also, little son of a bitch, looked amazing himself. Had a lot of fun. Two very fun things occurred. First of all, I saw one of the funnier pranks, which I think we'll get to second. But second, there was a random celebrity at this wedding. Okay. If you can guess who it was, I'll give you $500. You have one guess. If you were to be able to get this, bro, it would be the craziest thing in the world. In general, and even how random the fact it is. And I'm sure it wasn't random. He must have some relation to somebody. But let's see if you can guess. I'll actually give you three guesses, and I will say warmer or colder.
Can I ask one question?
Do you
think that I know who this person is?
50-50.
Okay.
But I'm leaning more in the direction of the 50 that you know the person.
Okay.
So let's say 51-49, and I'll give you three guesses, and I'll say cold, hot, warm, whatever.
Famous person.
Yes.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
You said nothing more than that, right?
That's it. And let's see if you guys at home can guess too. Let's see, like, if anybody gets it.
I'm thinking of Pavone. He's from Canada.
Just think of, and okay, I'll give you a hint. Don't think that way.
Okay.
No, nothing.
He's from Canada, right?
Yeah. Nothing about either of them is going to help you get this.
Okay.
And guys, if you just think random, this person was very, very, very famous for a moment.
Ooh.
And, you know, still a noteworthy person. I saw this person. And I was like, is that person? And I then heard someone say, that person is here. And I was like, I thought I saw that person. Leave it at that.
All right. Give me a second.
Lynch.
Okay. So it's not a super Canadian. This is someone that had a moment. It's not what's her name, who we've talked about a couple of weeks ago from White Lotus.
Who's that?
What's her name?
Oh, I know that you're worried about burning a guess.
Let's say.
Oh, I'll give you one last hint. It's a person that I don't think I've ever mentioned to you before.
Okay, cool. All right, let's guess. Topher Grace.
No. And I would say that.
You can't say
hot and cold isn't going to help you. So I'll give you a score.
Okay. In terms of linkability? Link. Ability?
I'd give that that guess a 5.
Avril Lavigne?
No.
Is that how you say it? Avril?
I believe so.
Yeah, her.
And
she had a moment.
I would give that guess a 6.
Okay, so I'm assuming it's a woman.
Don't assume that. I'm going to tell you that it's not a woman.
Okay.
Because you're just not going to get it. It's too insane.
Okay. I want to just throw the dart at the board and land on the bullseye.
If you did, I would lose my mind, but you won't. But this is still fun.
Who, Dolly Parton?
No. Nice try. Nice plan. It's Justin Guarini.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I never would have got that.
You don't?
Maybe I saw his face.
Justin Guarini. Lynch was too young for that reference. Justin Guarini was the runner-up in American Idol to Kelly Clarkson, I believe.
Oh, I recognize this guy.
Yeah. Justin Guarini was there. I don't know why. And it made me wonder what he has been up to.
Do you ask him? Do you go up to him and say,
No.
What have you been up to?
I didn't talk to him. I didn't say anything. But if you make it that, if you're that big, right? And American Idol is interesting because it's one of those shows where winning or not winning doesn't necessarily impact your outcome. Mm-hmm. Like there are completely talented, competent singers, artists, musicians, whatever, who don't win, who have huge careers. Mm-hmm. So by advancing at all, you give yourself a shot, which is fun. And then, of course, there's people who won, who maybe didn't make it as big. But you have to think that in the aftermath of the doing very well, you must make a good amount of money for an extended period of time automatically, which is why I think the contracts are notoriously so bad, because they get, you know, X amount of money of your whole career forever or whatever. But I wonder, Justin Guarini is a good looking guy. He was in movies. He's in this, he's in that. He's must have made $10 million. And doing the net worth thing is wrong.
Yeah, but I know. Like, I searched it. It's not
maybe relative. Maybe like the more famous a person is, the more likely it is to be true. But yeah, he has like a whole rap sheet of stuff going on.
Interesting.
And I like the idea of that. I like the idea of being able to silently make a lot of money as an entertainer. I hope for that for myself.
Yeah. It's interesting. Do you know who I think about at least once a month? Bo Bice.
Bo Bice?
Yeah. I think he was in the 7th season of American Idol, and he made it to like, I don't know, he was like the 6th place or something like that. I think about that a lot.
What's he up to?
I don't know what he's up to. I just think about him all the time.
To look his ass up.
Bo Bice. And then I remember, he's 48. And do you recognize this guy? Did you watch American Idol?
Never.
As a kid? So American Idol, I think it's still going on. But the connections that you got from American Idol in the early 2000s must trump what opportunities they give you today in the world that we live in. Yeah, it's like pre-social media. You're connected to the industry. You're in the industry if you make it to the live shows, I feel like, at the very least. Making connections.
Like when you're on the hit season of a show and then they recast it again and like it doesn't do the same thing for the new people.
No, yeah. It's like right now it's like Lionel Richie. It used to be Paul Abdul, Simon Cowell.
It's still on.
It's still on. I think there's a new season that rolled out this year, at least. That's a fact. I don't know when it was, but... I used to religiously watch the auditions. That was like prime time TV.
Yeah, that was like a fun.
I love the wacky people.
Totally.
There's this one particular audition that this guy is this big dude. And he's like, "I'll climb the frosty mountain, the weather." And like Paul is just like,
"It was amazing."
It's just great. Like it's so cringe. Like it's like OG.
It wasn't good.
No, it was terrible. It was terrible.
You know, you'll see a dude like do something like that, and it's amazing though.
Yeah. Yeah, but like those, like today, like American Idol is not going to give you the exposure that like a viral TikTok would.
Interesting.
That's how I feel.
Interesting. That's yeah, I wonder, man.
And then I remember Adam Lambert was like the favorite to win.
He's big still,
he's
right?
He's big. Is he a country music person? He's on Broadway.
Oh, does he do country music?
No.
I don't know much about pop music.
I think he does, what does he do? Oh yeah, he is he's like a Queen cover artist.
Oh, cool.
There's a ton of Queen songs. But like, "What Do You Want From Me?" That was a bop.
Nice.
Yeah, that was it.
Very cool, dude.
That was it.
Okay, so that was the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing, I saw a very funny prank.
Yes.
So these two people knew each other. This happened to Pat Bircher, who's a comic, Canadian comic. He works at The Cellar. He's a great guy. He's a funny guy, too. Not only as a comic, but like he did this thing one time that I thought was really funny. He DM'd me, he had a question for me, and he's like, "Hey man, I know we're not speaking right now, but..." And then asked the question, and we were completely speaking. I thought that was like very funny and unique.
They give you a cold sweat?
Yeah, I forget exactly. Let me see if I can pull
that.
It didn't give me a cold. No, bro. It was like, if you knew this guy too, it was so obvious that he was joking.
I know, but for half a second. Not even.
I thought about it being like, did we? Let me see exactly what he said. I don't think our DM thread is deep enough. Yeah. "Julio, hope all is great. Is it cool if we momentarily drop our feud so that I can ask you a couple questions?" which I thought was fucking funny.
That's a cute one.
And then again, he goes, "I'm breaking the rules by asking this. However, how are you? And how is Toronto?" anyway, great guy. This other guy who clearly knew him, he was standing with a piece of cake. He was talking to me and Hilldog. This guy comes over with a fork, puts it in the cake, takes the cake, and runs away. Holding the cake, which is hilarious. There's much more cake, so that's sort of fine. It's annoying that he has to get more cake, but it's worth it because of how funny that was. Pat laughed so hard. It was very wholesome.
That's nice. You need that. Some medicine right there.
It was very, very wholesome.
That's great.
So anyway, had a nice time. Always fun to go to a comedy gathering and see a bunch of comedy people. Yeah, it's a good community.
Nice.
Good group. Dude, I love a good pair of underwear, man. There's just nothing like it. it is an important baseline for comfort. If you don't have a good pair of undies, from there, nothing else matters.
No.
It's where your day starts and finishes. You need yourself a good pair of comfortable, stretchy, physically cool, and aesthetically cool, durable underwear. And that's why MeUndies are where it's at. This is my favorite. This is a pretty standard boxer brief, I would argue. I like the thigh length here. MeUndies has a couple different versions of this, as well as sort of the protruding pouch, which I don't feel like I need at this point in time. Subtle flex. Thank you very much. But these are really great for me, but they have all different styles, colors, aesthetics, everything you could possibly need to have a comfortable pair of underwear. So, you know, you can go on about your day feeling good, feeling confident. And I also like the way MeUndies fit in a way where they're snug and tight, but I also don't feel like I'm spilling out of them. Sometimes if I like a pair of underwear is too tight, it makes me feel fat. Which isn't ideal. So anyway, MeUndies is the best. I mean, it's just such a solid partner for us, as well as just a solid item.
Mm-hmm. I have a premonition. I feel like Mountain Dew Man might be wearing MeUndies because he always looks so comfortable. I'd place my bet on him wearing a pair of MeUndies boxer briefs.
We should get him a pair or two.
Yeah, and they're responsibly sourced, made with partners that take care of their people. You can get any sizes from extra small to 4XL. MeUndies has you covered. We absolutely love it. So get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/oopspodcast. That's MeUndies.com/oopspodcast for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Okay, we have a couple emails. We'll do one real quick.
Send them to us at oopsthepodcast@gmail.com.
This one is called Officiating Your Friend's Wedding. Hey dudes, had a very exciting and somewhat frightening thing happen to me today and thought you guys and the Oops Faithful will be a good source of advice. Two of my best friends are getting married and they just asked me to officiate their wedding. I love these people so much and feel so lucky to have them as friends. So obviously I said yes. I'm already having performance anxiety though. I love public speaking, so I'm not concerned about that part, but I really want to do well as the person tasked with leading the ceremony. Wondering if you guys or any fellow listeners have been in this position and how you handled it. I know it'll go well, but I love these guys and really want to crush it for them. So any advice is greatly appreciated. Love the pod. Hope you guys come out to SF soon so I can finally see one or both of you live. Much love. Cool. Have you ever officiated a wedding?
No, but you've given a big speech at a wedding.
I've officiated two weddings and I've given speeches. So they're two different things and I do have good advice for this. So the obvious thing, and you're going to do this, is to ask the couple what they want. And they're kind of going to, they're going to tell you what they want. And they might have an idea of specific things they want, but they've never officiated a wedding either, most likely. So they're not going to think of sort of the standard shit that you have to do. So along with saying a nice word about the couple briefly, I wouldn't carry on too much. A couple funny things here and there, whatever. And then doing whatever specific things they want to do, it's important that you come up with the format. So like, and that's down to each thing. So like, you're going to say your thing, then they're going to do the ring exchange, then they're going to do vows. How's that going to go? And then you make it official. So you should come up with that first. There's like many templates that are obvious and run it by them before you do it. I one time made the mistake of not doing that. And while it still went well, and I was also speaking in the wedding, like I had kind of a few things going on, but I feel as if I sort of dropped the ball a bit on the format and it kind of just became unclear what was happening. And at one point the bride was like, should we do the rings now? Like, and I should have just like been on top of that. And I think it was fine. And they look back on it fondly. And I don't think even the crowd would have been like, oh, he didn't have his shit together. I think I did a good job, but I can't help but wish that I had thought of that part first. So that's my advice. And I think that's pretty good advice.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. Just be prepared. You'll be fine.
Cool.
You have anything to add to that, Lynch?
No, I haven't experienced that yet. Yeah. So that sounds really good.
Yeah. So
you put together a really great speech for Francis and Sierra's wedding.
Thank you, man. I felt good about that one too.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cool.
All right. Sweet.
You want to try a little role play?
Sure, Ryan. Let's do it.
Thank you, Julia. Julia's entertaining my little idea.
No, I like this idea. I think it's fun. All right.
So we're going to do a role play. You're going to play Julio, and I am going to be a somewhat acquaintance that you kind of know through comedy, and I am going to be asking you to do me a favor, and you're going to be very resistant to it.
Got it.
Okay. Julio?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up? How's everything?
Things are pretty good. It's funny I bumped into you. I actually just started this new business.
Oh.
Yeah.
A little side hustle.
A little bit, yeah. I've been spending a lot of time on it. I'll let you know what it is. It's a pickle company, and I'm selling pickles online, and I send them in these vacuum concealed bags, and I send them out to people. And I just made my Instagram account, and I'm trying to grow my page. And I was curious if you would just do me a solid and share my most recent post on your Instagram story so that your followers can see it.
Oh, dude. Wow. This is crazy. Since when do you do pickles? You're a pickle guy?
I started a couple of weeks ago.
You started doing pickles a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You just started pickling cucumbers a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. I know a guy who works in pickling. And he's done it with carrots. He's done it with onions. And I don't know. I got cucumbers. So I'm in the business now.
You're making killer pickles.
I'm making killer pickles, but no one knows about them.
Well, but you just started. How would they know about it?
Well, I'm trying to get the word out. And I've known you for 11 years now. If you could do me a solid and just my most recent post, did you see it? Because I shared it on story.
No, I didn't.
Well,
send it to me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
I'll throw it up or whatever.
Yeah.
Just send it over. I'll take a look at it. And then,
this is it, though.
Sick.
Is that good to go?
I don't know. I guess it's up on your thing, right?
Yeah. Could you share it right now?
Just send it to me, bro. I'll take a look at it.
I know, but dude, I don't mean to do this, but like people say that.
Yeah.
And like then they don't do it. And like I know you would you're probably going to do it because you're a good guy, but like can you just do it right now?
You're being weird, dude.
Why?
This is weird.
No, it's not.
Bro, this is weird.
Julio.
Dude, is he being weird? This is weird, bro. You need to like just relax a little.
No, don't look at me
this
like
this.
This
is the first time I'm hearing about the pickle business. I'm sure it's great. Send it to me. I'll take a look at it. Like, this is a lot of information. I can do it. I got shit going on. Just send it to me, bro.
You're not going to post it.
Bro, well, I'm not going to post it now with how you're behaving.
Well, I thought you were going to be the easiest person to just throw it up there.
I don't think I'm not.
I throw your clips up all the time.
No, it's nice of you, but I don't think I'm being difficult at all. I think I'm being very reasonable, bro.
Well, I wish you didn't say that.
Say what?
I wish you didn't say no.
Are you okay?
I don't want to have to do this. I know what you did in 2011.
What did I do in 2011, bro?
At the lake?
I didn't do anything in 2011.
Look at me. I don't want to leak this, but I have it.
You do it. Fine.
Why are you doing this to me?
Shut up, dude.
I can't die like this. No, I mean, kids don't know where I am. They think I'm on a business.
I don't care about your family. Goodbye.
That's very
Will
funny.
You share it on your Instagram story?
Are you fucking with me, bro? No. Dude, No, I will not share it on my Instagram story. Feel free to share that with whoever you want.
Okay. All right. You'll be sorry.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
And scene.
All right. That was crazy.
Thank you.
That was weird. How the fuck did you even think of that, dude?
I don't know.
That was like a fun acting exercise, Lynch.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun.
Very, very nice. Catch the pickles on Ryan's Instagram. I will have now shared it after that threat. It's funny. When he asked me to record that before, I was like curious what that was for. But
you thought I stepped out before when we were done setting up. I stepped out to record the screaming part, and then you were outside. You thought I was on the phone with somebody.
I thought Ryan was having drama because he was like flailing. It was pretty fucking funny, man.
Yeah. Hey, another fun episode. Nice hanging out.
Oops the pod. Good hanging with you guys. Come see us on the 1st in Boston.
Yes.
Laugh Boston. It's going to be a great show. I'm also in Portland on the 18th at Helium. I'm trying to work out a Tacoma date in there too. I'm not sure what the status is of that yet, but hopefully that'll be happening. Pasadena on the 3rd. St. Pete again in the fall and more stuff coming up as my special sort of gears up to coming out. So come see me on the road. Send us emails at notjulio, at oopsthepodcast, oopsthepodcast@gmail.com, @ryanisreallypolite. We'll talk to you guys later.
Take care.